Hello everyone and welcome to the seventh episode of our Digging Deeper podcast series. Today I have with me four guests who will be sharing with us their insights and advice about networking within the built environment. Those people are Will Kintish, international speaker and trainer on networking, Karen Rogers, the RICS Early Engagement Manager, Kelly Smith, CIOB's Tomorrow's Leader Representative, and Sarah Hayford, Managing Director of the Land Collective. Welcome to all of you and thank you for joining me today. So I think everyone can agree that networking is a key skill to have as it helps to build and develop careers. It's obviously been a very strange year and the impact of that has been huge. A lot of people have had to reduce social contact at work, meaning they've had to relearn how to connect and network in this new world of remote working and online tech. So my first question is for you, Will. Why do you think that networking is such an important skill for graduates? And does it actually make a difference to your career whether or not you can network?
You use the word important. Stronger than that, it's absolutely fundamental. If people think that they can achieve their career goals simply because of the certificates on the wall and the letters behind their name and their academic qualifications, I think they are going to be very, very disappointed. Because at the end of the day, to be successful, there are two things we all have to do, whether employees, whether we're bosses, whether we are self-employed. We have to be visible and we have to be proactive. And that's what networking does for us. The irony about networking, Hannah, is fortunately for me, I've been teaching people how to do it for 20 years. But do you know what? Whether I existed or not, everybody in the world networks from the age of 2 years old. Networking is just talking to people. And yet there is the connotation that it's sleazy, it's a dirty activity, it's salesy. Well, the people who don't know how to do it, that's how they behave when they go to events and conferences. But at the end of the day, networking is simply talking with a view to building relationships. And if you can't build relationships and get on with people, as I said at the beginning of this moment, you're going to be struggling with your career goals. Simple as that.
Thank you. That's really helpful and makes a lot of sense. Can you give us an idea of what networking looks like today in this new world of remote working?
Yes. Well, when COVID appeared, Hannah, my oxygen was cut off at the neck, because for me, walking into a room, meeting people I already know and meeting people that I didn't know, that is the best way to network. Well, of course, everything changed, didn't it, in March 2020? So for 20 years, I've been showing people how to work a room. Well, you ask me what the difference is? Since March 2020, I've now been showing people how to work the Zoom. And that is the big difference. And you know something? The skills and personality traits we need, whether it's Room or whether it's Zoom, is very, very little difference. Very, very little difference. Because at the end of the day, it's getting people to like us. It's being nice to people. It's asking good questions. If we do spot a potential opportunity, how to follow up. So we can do all that on the Zoom as we can on the Room. The strongest piece of advice I've been giving since COVID appeared is, it's very difficult to try and start a brand new relationship online. I believe we have to meet people. So my advice I've been giving to everybody is, if you're going to do your Zoom networking, try and rebuild relationships with people, people you already know or people you are introduced to. So rather than going brand new cold calling or cold relationship, get somebody to introduce you to the person you want to know, or go back through your database or your LinkedIn contacts and re-establish contacts with them. So that is the big difference for me in what has happened in the last 20 months.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And I think we'll be coming back to you later for some more advice and practical tips for people listening. So moving on, Sarah, you're someone that set up a career development platform within the built environment. Why do you think it's important to network within this sector?
Well, I actually came from a different sector, so I didn't study anything built environment related when I was at university. I actually studied politics and international relations. And then in my third year, I decided that I wanted to break into the commercial property sector. So for me, networking was paramount, even though I hadn't even graduated yet, because I knew that I wanted to move into a new sector. So getting to know people, jumping onto LinkedIn and seeing people that I could potentially work under or for, that research in different companies was super, super important, because it's another way to really edge your way into a new industry. And I think that lots of people, especially students, really don't understand the power of it, really, especially at that young of an age when you're trying to establish new connections. So I definitely think it's something important for young people to do, which is one of the reasons why I built the platform, so that people who are interested in the built environment sector can establish those relationships from really early on in a professional manner and then can go on to further their careers in that way.
You just said you built the platform, so this is the Land Collective. You had the idea because you wanted people to be able to network within the built environment. Is that because you saw a bit of a gap within the built environment? How did it come about?
Initially, the Land Collective was more of a career development and commercial awareness platform. So we actually started off as a blog. So we wanted young people who were interested in the sector, who maybe hadn't really heard of it, we wanted them to kind of go on the website and read about what was actually going on in the market, so that if they ever had an interview, they can actually talk about the built environment with a lot of enthusiasm and things like that. So another reason why we developed the platform is that we found it quite difficult, especially for people from non-traditional backgrounds, to break into the sector. So people who hadn't studied real estate or didn't have a mum, a dad or uncle who was a surveyor who can kind of help them navigate their way through. So we worked with quite a lot of employers and the university careers departments to help people not only learn about the built environment and the many kind of career opportunities that it offers, but also, yeah, how to network and how to, you know, put yourself across on CVs in front of employers and things like that. So I'd say that our goals are quite multifaceted in that way.
Great, thank you very much. So it'd be interesting to hear from both Karen and Kelly about how professional bodies are promoting networking opportunities. Karen, do you want to take this on first and then we'll pass over to Kelly?
Yeah, sure. The RICS is quite fortunate in that it identifies networking as being essential to its members. And over 132 years ago, it created an early career network, which in today's environment is called Matrix. It has over 5,000 active members across the UK, and we're expanding globally. And it's really important and essential that Matrix has a strong proposition. And this proposition is to support and develop those early in their careers and build their confidence. The priority here is building their networks and their building and their business contacts. So therefore, a high percentage of Matrix events and interactions, both virtually now and face-to-face, promote the power of networking. It's a skill that's developed successfully by all our members, we'd like to think, and it really helps them throughout their whole career, not just while they're early in their career, but throughout. And these skills remain with them for forever and ever and ever until they go to their grave. The RICS supports the need for networking with other surveyors as well as other professions as well, so the lawyers and the accountants, and work collaboratively because it's important they get a good range of business contacts and they're familiar with building networks with just not those that have the surveying principles as a background. It's really important that a role of a surveyor really has these skills. I don't know any of the pathways that we have into the profession don't depend upon being able to build relationships. There are some pathways that depend more upon it, such as the project management. But yeah, it's really important. Previously, before lockdown, all of our 32 local groups across the UK hosted networking events and were actually asked to always host at least one annual session on how to work the room. This is now turned into how to network on Zoom, which kind of picks up on what Will was saying earlier. It's gone from work in the room to work in Zoom. And just really kind of reinforces that I've probably done too much work with Will now, because his ethos goes through me all the time when I'm working with Matrix. So, yeah, it's a really important part, and the RITS sees it as one of its biggest priorities.
That's brilliant. Thank you. I love this whole working the room, working Zoom thing. I haven't heard it before, but definitely catch on. Kelly, how about you with the CIOB?
For me, it's definitely been an important part of getting into the career. So CIOB, again, we've been hot on the Zoom, just like everybody else has, really getting to grips with teaching people how to, number one, get onto Zoom, and then number two, how to really engage when you're networking on Zoom as opposed to in real life. We put on several events during the pandemic to ensure that everybody is able to network and continue to engage within the industry, and really keep those bonds going. I think that the industry right now is at the point where young people are struggling to get into it, and I think it is, as Sarah mentioned, young people don't see the need, and it's so important to continue networking, and CIOB as a governing body are definitely trying to push and promote that and put forward opportunities where people can engage. Actually, we're going to host our first in-person meeting in a few weeks, which will be interesting to then go back to going in person, because it's now that blended approach between virtual networking and in real life networking, and then seeing how the two can collaborate when you've been seeing people in these little squares for 18 months and then you go to meeting them in real life. It can sometimes be an interesting dynamic. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. So there's some people listening to this podcast that might not be working in the built environment and not have those ready-made networks that you can just pick up. Are any of you able to give some practical tips to these people? Will, I know you mentioned previously some tips, but it would be great to get all of your insight for people listening.
I think everybody is somebody's somebody. So the key to the whole of networking is, always reminds me of Woody Allen's very famous quote, 80% of success is just turning up. And people don't turn up. And I mean, it's something Kelly just said a few minutes ago. People are a bit hesitant now. They've been watching everybody through a 4x4 little box. And all of a sudden you have to go and see people in 3D. And I think that if people are looking for a new job, whether it's business development or career development, they just, doesn't matter where they go sometimes. And sometimes I think it's better not to be too narrow in your industry. Go and, I mean, you mentioned, I think it was Karen mentioned that the surveyors need to network with the accountants and the lawyers and probably the banks and just business people generally. I have this mantra, if you don't go, you'll never know. And for the people who want to develop their careers in whatever way, apart from just doing the technical aspect of the job, they have to get out and meet people in all walks of life.
I think I can say that with the CIOB. I think what's really important about us is we represent the whole construction industry, and that's all trades, that's everyone involved. And I think it's so important for us all to have these conversations, because in real life we do work together. So it's good that we have a collaborative relationship in which we are used to working together and having a collaborative approach. And when it's a lot more free-flowing in the pub, you know, just somewhere after work where we can relax and not have that pressure, it really allows you to make relationships. Will made that great point of, you know, it's networking is just a fancy word to build relationships, really.
Sarah or Karen, any top tips for networking?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I kind of learned along my journey to get into this point is that I think, especially for young people, you always kind of picture networking as something that you do upwards. So maybe trying to get into the diary of a director or a senior level at a company. But sometimes it's really useful just to network across as well. So people going through the same things as you, or people who maybe, for example, maybe they've just qualified, maybe you're still studying your bachelor's in real estate and you want to talk to somebody who's just qualified as a surveyor or to start in the REPC, those relationships are just as important as trying to speak to a director or a senior level at a company. So I would definitely say that is my top tip as well, because you never know when you may need that person, or maybe you might go through something at work and you might think, oh, actually, there's somebody who is a real estate lawyer that I can go and talk to now or tap into. So I think networking across with people at your level is so, so important as well. And I think sometimes, you know, young people, especially at universities and things, have this really kind of aged approach to networking and what it is, much like Bill was talking about earlier. So I definitely think that that is something that people at universities can adopt, and, you know, don't just think it's about networking upwards, because sometimes that can be quite scary as well. But also to network across and know people on your course, know what they want to go into, what they want to do. Do you want to go to the same firms? Do you want to do different things? I think all of those things are really, really important as well.
Yeah, that's really helpful, actually. Thank you.
Somebody said to me very recently, Will, bearing in mind you're quite old and you've been working a long time, are you still relevant? I said, whether I'm relevant or not, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what is more relevant than ever, and it's the topic we're talking about today, particularly as we're being released from COVID prison. I think it's absolutely vital that people start proactively looking for events.
Karen, did you have anything to add, or shall I move on to the next question?
I was just going to really support what my colleagues on this call have said as well, in that, you know, network, we need to take out the scare factor from networking. It's not hard. And as Will has already alluded to, it's something we do all of the time. And it's not just events. You know, we don't have to go to an event and say, well, this is a networking event. Every event you go to is networking. Every part of your life is networking. And I think, you know, the more we could break that down and realise that even if it's just meeting up with the alumni from your university or people that you've had work placement opportunities with, you know, that is networking. It may be only, you know, a very small number of people. Networking doesn't always have to be a big network or an event of sorts. So I think there's a lot of stigma around it that just needs to be broken down and say, you know, it's about building relationships. It's about having open and interesting conversations. And it's not always a gain at the end of it. You don't always have to come out with a gain. It's just literally around getting to know people. And in the future, you know, your paths may cross again and there may be a gain, but there may not. It may just be somebody that helps you build your network and just have a very interesting conversation, expand your life experiences as well. So, yeah, I think there's a big fear around networking and the tag it's the types of things it's established against. And I don't think we need to worry too much.
Karen, that's why I've been able to make a living for 20 years, because people don't get what it is. So don't tell too many people, will you? Try and keep it a secret.
Sorry, Will.
Reinforcing what Karen said, picture the scenario. You get invited to something on Christmas Day, maybe family, and some friends turn up. And a conversation can start, and all of a sudden that person could be your new employer or your new partner in a new business. So networking. And I'm just underlining what Karen says. We do it every day of our lives, and we've done it since we started to talk.
I'm someone that's quite extroverted and really loves talking to people and don't find it too hard to meet new people. But actually, I've got a lot of friends that would really struggle with some of the stuff you guys are saying. And it might lead on to the next question. I'm just wondering where the role of the internet is at the moment. Obviously, we talked a bit about Zooms and there's LinkedIn and things like that. Has anyone got any advice for people that actually really struggle with those sort of conversations? Because that's a lot of people that are a lot more introverted. Like, what are some things that they can do if you actually really struggle with just meeting someone new?
If you're going to get invited to an event, the strongest piece of advice I can give you is get there early. Always get there early. By getting there early, if it's a hosted event, the host will talk to you and hopefully introduce you to a fellow guest, or there's another person who's there early. And it's as simple as this, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you simply do this. You go up to them and say, hello, can I introduce myself? My name is Will, and you'll say, hello, I'm Hannah. Oh, hi, Hannah. Nice to meet you. And even if it's a business event, never start off with what do you do. Okay. The business conversation always comes later. So I might say to you, what made you come to this conference today, Hannah? Or where have you traveled from today? Or isn't this a magnificent building that we're in? Have you been to it before? Always start off with some small talk, because it's the small talk that glues the relationship. It's never the business talk. The business talk always comes later. And that's what I say to anybody. And if you're nervous, just ask the other person about them. Simple as that. My life changed when I went on a Dale Carnegie course, who wrote that very famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And this is what he said. The most interesting people we ever meet are those who are most interested in us. So when I talk to my delegates, I say to them, I want you to be perceived when you go home to be thought of as the most interesting person in the room. They might know nothing about you, but they really liked you. And that's what the key to the whole thing. They really liked you because you showed interest in them, as long as it's genuine interest in me. You're not just doing it for the wrong reasons.
Great, thank you. That is really, really helpful. Does anyone else want to chip in before I move on to the last question?
I think there's an opportunity before you go networking to think about, if I was a brand, what brand would that be? And how would I sell myself? So that's the only piece of preparation I would say before going to a network event I would do. So not to worry about, should I ask this question or go too much into that, because the conversation will flow. But if you go in thinking, this is me, this is my personal brand, this is what I stand for, it really helps your networking. And sometimes to remove yourself from the person you are and make it look like a brand takes away that nervousness. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like networking and trying to sell a product, but actually you're selling yourself. And it's not about me. It's about, this is what I stand for, this is my values. So it's, and it's quite fun to do that as well before you go to a networking event. Think, if I was a brand, would I be Coca-Cola, or would I be, you know, Nike, or would I be Adidas? And what does that mean? And it's really interesting. And that's a really good thing to say to somebody when you're networking. You think, God, I don't really want to ask if he's got any children or dogs, or, you know, isn't the weather bad or anything. Just say, if you're a personal brand, let's just have a chat about what would you be? What do you like in a brand? And it gets the conversation going right away from business.
Love it. I love that one, Karen. Can I add to that? I say to people, particularly younger professionals, and that's who we're focused on today, it is unnerving walking into a room of more experienced people. But please give yourself an upbeat talking to. Say, okay, I haven't got as much knowledge. I haven't got as much experience. I haven't got as much expertise as half the people in this room. But so what? As long as I'm courteous and polite and nice, I have as much right to be in this room as everybody else. And the older person like me will take you seriously when you ask me insightful and intelligent questions. That is the key to the whole thing, asking the other person good questions.
I was going to add, and I think that's such an important point, is that young people do have a place in the room, and we are the innovators. We've got something to add and something to bring. There are lots of companies now that are offering reverse mentoring, because the industry recognises that there are skills that we find easy that the generations before us think are completely alien to them. And I think that's something to be said about the skills that we can bring into the room and bring into the industry. On the second point also, I like to tell other young people at CIOB, because just think of it as a brand new freshers week. When you're going into university, you've got that whole week where you've come from different parts of the country, different parts of the world, and you make new friends. People, this is where most people find their husband for life, or their wife for life, and their best friend, the godparents to their children. These are where you're making your lifelong friends, and freshers isn't intimidating. So look at networking in the same way.
there are so many interesting and wonderful people out there. And when you find that, I think what Will said, the genuine interest, when you enjoy or at least appreciate wanting to meet new people, it takes the fear and pressure element out of it in regards to, what can I gain? That's the director over there. I don't really want to talk to the directors in the room. That's a bit intimidating. No, he's a person just like you. He's mostly got a wife at home getting on his nerves just like you. So just take the human element and really think of them as people, and they can appreciate that as well.
You know, the irony about this introvert-extrovert thing, everybody, is, and I genuinely believe this, the introvert, at the end of the day, can often be a better networker than the extrovert. Because the extrovert will go home and say to his other half, or be asked by the other half, so what did you learn tonight? And of course, the extrovert learns nothing. Because the extrovert has been talking about themselves the whole time. Whereas the introvert, if they ask good questions and they're very good listeners, they will learn so much more and gain so much out of an event than the extrovert. But you have to tell the introvert first, otherwise they won't believe it. You have to encourage them that it is about the other person. And what is the big difference? That the extrovert talks and then thinks. The introvert thinks and then talks.
So true. I'm nodding along as an extrovert. Definitely talk before I think. Great, so we've got time for one more question. It would be good to discuss the role of the internet in job hunting. So there's been a huge rise in people using online tools, obviously. So LinkedIn, all the social media for career purposes. Is this the way forward for finding new jobs and developing careers? Kelly is very excited to answer this question. Go, Kelly.
The internet is a wonderful place, an absolutely marvellous invention. However, we have to acknowledge the sector that we're going into. We really have to look and read the room. All of my jobs that I've received, every single one has been an in-person job. Not one of them have I received because of an online application. People now are so grateful that you make that person-to-person connection. They're so grateful that you walk onto site and want to introduce yourself to the site manager. They are so great. Do you know, on every single, and I do tell young people this a lot, on every single site outside the site is the site manager's name and number and often email address. Pop in an email. They are crying out for us to come in and join the industry. They really want us there. And if that's not you, if you're not a grafter, if you're not into the walking the streets and finding every site, the LinkedIns, the websites of the day, the Indeeds, they're great, they're absolutely fantastic. But really go to your universities or find your mentors that can support you with a strong CV, a strong cover letter. You need something that makes you stand out. What have you done? Did you do Duke of Edinburgh? Have you travelled to a really interesting place? Did you do a gap year? Did you do a family holiday where you went skiing? What makes you a personable person? And I think people try and keep it so academic and so focused that they forget that we want, in the industry, we want whole-rounded people. We need all of you, not just your surveying qualifications. We want the whole of you and everything that you can bring. So I really would point those out. As a young person, I have to admit I'm not the best when it comes to technology, and the construction industry, unfortunately, often isn't the best when it comes to upgrading the technology and getting into the tech world. But there is a place for it, and it's definitely out there. So yeah, I would emphasize 100% stick on that cover letter, get a strong CV, and get one of your mates to look over it. At every single university, you've got a careers advice, some sort of center, use them, go to your lecturers. Most lecturers do consultation. And I'm sure they'd be happy to say, ask them, would you hire me with a CV and cover letter like this? What does it work? Does it reflect the job role that I'm going for? Or if it does, then great. If it doesn't, then what can we do to improve? on that, I'm going to bang on because this is a topic that I do get passionate about. Talk about the modules that you found interesting. Talk about the, it could be two or three lines. Say, I did, what did I do at uni? Gee, golly. I did BIM. I studied BIM. I did CAD. You know, what did you do? And those are the things that they want to see, not just that you went to the University of Exeter and you got these qualifications, but what did you really learn? What did you take away? What were your favourite modules? So that would be my advice.
Thank you, Kelly. Loving the passion.
Can I just jump in there and support everything that Kelly says? An initiative we've been doing with some of our school students is helping write CVs, but also doing very short 1 minute, 2 minute videos. And at the bottom of their CVs, putting a link that says, this is me. And it's a video that just brings out their personality. And it's not really anything to do with their CV unless that student wants it to. But their CV will be all about their qualification and their skills and everything. And then the video they add the link to at the bottom is, this is me. I love walking my dogs. This is my school. This is the bit I like. I like walking in and smelling this smell. To me, smell's very important. You know, this was one student and I was like, wow, really in touch with their senses. And this was her whole video. It was nothing to do with how well she'd done in her grades, because she said, that's in my CV, but I want you to get my personality. And that's what we've been encouraging our students to do within sixth form, to get onto their apprenticeships. Because at the end of the day, an employer's like, oh, here's another CV. It's really refreshing for them to click on that link and get this little video of somebody talking to them. So, and it really helps build their confidence as well.
That that awful cliche, Karen, people by people, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
100%.
People, if you see, I think that's a wonderful idea. If they see a 1 minute video, we all know we make immediate impressions when we interview people. As we walk them down the corridor into the office, we've often decided whether they'll fit or not before we know anything. We've already seen their CV. We've done all that. So I agree. Very quickly, you asked the question about IT and job seeking. Yeah. LinkedIn started out as a job site. And for me, the best way to use LinkedIn is if you've got quite a few contacts who you know, who know you, like you and trust you, my advice would be to go through their contacts and see who they know, rather than going cold. I never do any cold. I don't do cold calling, cold anything. I always try and find people who know me, like me and trust me to introduce me to their contacts. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the word LinkedIn. That is the whole key essence of the whole thing. If I know Karen and I want to be introduced to Hannah, I won't go directly to you, Hannah. I say, Karen, how well do you know Hannah? Mm-hmm. If you don't know her that well, you just happen to be linked into her, fine. But if you say, oh, well, she happens to be my best friend or my neighbour, I say, how do you feel about giving me an introduction to her? Mm-hmm. And that must always be the best way of getting a lead into somebody you don't know, by getting the person you know to introduce you to the person you want to know.
Thank you. Sarah, I wonder if you've got input on this, seeing as you've got the Land Collective, which is obviously a website and it's online, what your view is.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a big social media advocate. So I've been doing social media for quite some time. And it's actually how we got the Land Collective so widely shared as well. But I completely agree with what everyone has said, especially what Kelly has mentioned about, you know, that social media and online having many, many benefits and being able to connect with people so quickly. But I think being in the room with people is a lot more important, especially in this industry, as it's so people-focused and people-based. So I know that we have quite a lot of our audience and our young people in our network who just say, oh, is it all about making a good LinkedIn profile and just connecting with lots and lots of people, basically just doing the work en masse? But it's not really about that, really, because you do want to make meaningful connections with people, which, you know, no really good if you have like a massive network on something like LinkedIn, you don't talk to anybody or you don't actually know anybody in person. So we always encourage things like being vocal you know, on, yeah, using these actual social media tools to your advantage, and then eventually pushing on a further relationship from that. So, for example, when I was first getting started in the industry, one of my first job applications actually came through Twitter, just because I was talking a lot on Twitter. I was very vocal about the issue that I cared about in the built environment. And eventually I got approached by a recruiter on there who said, oh, we have this role going. Do you want to have a chat with me about it? And that was my first role, and I got it through Twitter. And it was amazing. So I would always say to young people, if meeting people initially kind of freaks you out a little bit, build up your brand, your personal brand online first, and hopefully the people will come from there. You still have to be active, and you still have to go out there, make connections with people, ask them for coffees, do all of that stuff. But if you do want to build a reputation online for something that you want to be known for, if you know you want to get into a certain part of the industry, whether it's ESG, whether it's prop tech, it might be regeneration, start getting vocal about that first. Start blogging about it. Start writing, start tweeting about it, and see who gets eyes on you. Because that's actually how I made a lot of my contacts in the industry when I first got started. And it was brilliant to see that people were following my things, to hear what I had to say. And then from that, I got meetings with them. I got phone calls with them. And we're now all working together in the Land Collective, which is amazing. So I'd say that's another alternative way to do it, and not to discount social media and the power it has, but to use it as a kind of tool to further your network decisions and things like that, definitely.
Thank you. It's really helpful to hear.
It's actually really interesting because I follow the Land Collective on Instagram.
There we go.
Just to add on to the whole internet thing, it's not just the LinkedIns, the Instagrams, the Twitters. Most large organisations have a handle on every single platform. So really branch out, and in the same way, be responsible with the type of content that you're posting. Because as much as it, you can look for it for a job, recruiters sometimes look to see what kind of person you are through your social medias also. So being mindful of that.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for today. I know you could probably all do a lot more and speak a lot more on this topic, but genuinely, thank you so much for your time. It's been really helpful. And I think you've all given a really good insight into networking. So if anyone's listening to this podcast, which hopefully you are, and if you want to know more about careers in the built environment, then you can visit our webpage, which is www.ucem.ac.uk/careers. And where you find this podcast, we will have a write-up of all of our guests today, so you can find out a bit more about them. But thank you very much for listening, and thank you everyone for taking part in this podcast.